The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Got a good crowd here this morning. I appreciate you being here and invite you to come back. We'd love to have you back with us, those that are visiting. You are an honored guest, and we're so glad to have you. Thank you for coming. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. And we'll look at one verse this morning and use that as a springboard to launch into this thought that we'll be dealing with. Verse 11. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll reverence God's word as we read it. Let you stretch and Mark chapter 4, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Yeah. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, them that are without. God does not waste space or words in the Word of God, and he used the wording, but unto them that are without. And I want to deal with that subject this morning. Everybody in the world fits into one of two categories. It's a simple statement, but a profound one. You are either within or you're without. And the Bible has a lot to say about those that are within and those that are without. And those of us that are saved and privileged to be numbered with them that are within, there's nothing like being saved and knowing that you're saved. There's no greater truth or no greater knowledge than to know that you have passed from death unto life and that you have truly been born again. And so, for a moment, I'll just speak a word to those of us that are in, because the bulk of the message is to those that are without. To those of us that are within, the Bible talks about those who are within the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The Bible talks about those who are in Christ. And there's a lot more scripture I could give you, but for time's sake, I'll just hit some of the highlights. In Christ, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We preached several weeks on Romans chapter number 8 and dealt with the subject of how there is nothing like God removing and lifting the condemnation that once abode over you and you walked under. You couldn't get out from under except for when you got in Christ, and he blocked and he lifted every sin. He lifted the burden and the heavy load that sin carries, that condemnation from God. And there's no way to get that gone except to be in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, talking about being in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're in Christ, not only is the condemnation gone, but you are a new creature. You're not the same old man you used to be. You're not the same woman you used to be. You are a brand spanking new Christian. I was dealing with one of our church members, hadn't been saved long, just this week, just a day or two ago, and the devil was railing and throwing accusations at them to try to bring them under condemnation and to guilt trip them. And as those accusations mounted, the guilt built and built, and this person didn't know how to deal with it. And I encouraged them to realize God did not just as in the Old Testament, he didn't just cover your sin. That's what atonement done. Atonement and the shedding of goats and bullocks and turtle doves, all the shedding of blood in the Old Testament was to simply cover and atone sin. But in Christ, your sin is not just covered. It has been done away with. It is no longer. He removed the condemnation and he put in you a new person, a brand new creature. And so you can't be judged for who you was because you're not that person anymore. You're a brand new creature in Christ. So in Christ, in faith, in His hand, the Bible talks about being in His hand. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Boy, aren't you glad? Nobody can steal your salvation. Nobody can take it with force or with any other tool. There's nothing that can remove you. And I've had the debate many times with those who believe that you can be saved and then lose it. Those who believe that you can have the condemnation removed and then jump back under the condemnation. Or that the devil or some sin can put you back there. No, my friend. Jesus said, "No man can pluck you out from my Father's hand." And that literally means the devil, the demons of hell, and no man or nothing can remove you out of the protective hand of God. And the people that ain't my phone. Somebody cut your phone off. The people that I have had a conversation with and try to take scripture and flip it and manipulate it and have it out of context, and they're confused. Simply, they'll say, "Well, maybe no man can, because that's pretty clear. No man can, but you can. You can jump out of God's hand. Well, you'd have to be a good leaper." Better than any man that ever had. And the truth is, you can't jump that far. The Bible talks about how he, in I think it's Isaiah chapter 40, how he holds all the water in the world in the hollow of his hand. How he spans the universes and the galaxies with the span of a hand. That's a big hand. And I doubt you're going to jump out of it. Matter of fact, I know you're not. If you've ever been saved, you can rest in the fact that you will never be anything but saved. Amen. So in His hand, then in the Beloved, the Bible speaks of that in Ephesians 1:6. The Bible says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted," where? In the Beloved. In the way, the Bible talks about in Mark 10:52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And there is a way. Remember, the Bible talks about there's a way that seemeth right unto man. And we used to be in that way. And we used to operate under that mentality of the things that we thought was right. But now that we're saved, now that we're in, that way that used to seem right and used to be right to us, now we can clearly see. God has cut the light switch on and God has illuminated our mind. Ye which were blind and who were dark and dead and could not see, now it's very plain to see that there is a way, and that way is in Christ. Amen. The Bible talks about we're in heavenly places. This is amazing. Listen to this verse. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places." Now, don't say that He will raise us up. Now, there's scripture that talks about when the resurrection and the rapture happens, we will actually be seated in heaven physically. But this is not talking about that. This is saying he already has. Already, because we're in Christ, we are already seated together in heavenly places. Positionally, we are in Christ, and that means we are in already in heavenly places. Amen. So the next time you feel low and down, just realize you're a lot higher than you think. Amen. The Bible speaks about being in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Just like Jesus was raised, you will be. If you're in Christ, you will get up. Absolutely. The Bible speaks about being grafted in. I've got to hurry. Being grafted in, Romans 11:17, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. Boy, ain't you glad that we who are Gentiles, we who were not part of the commonwealth of Israel, we who were not the apple of God's eye, we who were not the chosen, he grafted that wild tree in. He grafted that wild olive tree. Listen, I thank God that he swung the doors, because in Christ he was able by grace to swing the doors open to whosoever will. Amen. Let him come. Amen. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be white or black or rich or poor. To any and all who would come is accepted. Amen. The Bible speaks about being in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you claim the name of Christ, and that means if you've ever been saved, you're in the Spirit. And the Spirit is in you. Why know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He dwells in you. He lives in you, and he lives in me. And so if we're in the Spirit, then we ought to walk that way. We ought not to walk after the flesh, we ought to walk after the Spirit. Amen. So Jesus, while explaining the parables to the disciples, which is what he's doing in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, referred to the world as them that are without. Now, I just spent a good bit of time this morning, a good portion of my time this morning, talking about those that are within. But in contrast to that, Jesus is speaking to those who are without. And we just come out of missions conference, and our minds and our hearts have been directed toward the souls of men, and how the gospel is to penetrate and go to the regions beyond, that men, every man, woman, boy, and girl would be able to hear the glorious gospel and be saved. And the truth is, they are without. Those that have never heard the name Jesus, those that have never heard the gospel, are without. They are in darkness. They have never heard or been able to receive the gospel, and they're without. And that should burden every one of our hearts to know we've heard the name Jesus over and over and over, and we are bored with the gospel. While men and women all over the world have never heard the name once. Amen. And so I'll read Mark 4:11 again. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So for days I've been thinking and meditating on just that phrase, them that are without. And the longer I meditate and the more I think about it, the more heartbreaking that phrase is. They are without. Think about that. They are without. And we can look at a number of verses today to describe them that are without. But think about these. Them that are without strength. The Bible speaks of that. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When you couldn't muster up the strength, when you didn't have it in you, he still came to you. When you could not get to him, He still came to you. When you were without, He came without and found you. Amen. So, them that are without natural affection, the Bible speaks about. 2 Timothy 3:3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Them that are without a preacher, the Bible speaks about. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they've not heard, believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the Bible speaks of them that are without excuse. Romans 1:20. And I encourage you to read Romans chapter number 1. And it gets in gory detail about the world we're living in and what God has to think about it. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's what the Bible says. So those are some examples of being without. But here's where my heart is this morning. I want to focus on these next passages of Scripture and expound on the thought of those that are without. Them that are without God are them that are without a father. Now, as a Christian, many times I take it for granted that I can say, Father, in Jesus' name. How often do you start your prayer, Father? Let me help you. If you don't start your prayer that way, and it ain't mandatory, but if you want to pray like Jesus, which I think is the best way to pray, it's the model way to pray, how did Jesus start His prayers? Father, amen. And as a Christian, many times I will pray and not even give thought to the fact, I know I'm talking to God, but to be able to call God my Father, what a privilege. What an honor to be, and you must be in to be able to do that. But those that are without, think about it. By definition, they don't have a father in God. They have a father, but it ain't Him. Ephesians 2:12, listen to what the Bible says and who the Bible says is their father. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Listen, John 8:42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. So those that are without have a father, but it ain't the father that a believer has. And what a tragedy to live all the way through life and only have a liar and a murderer as a father. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. God is able to take them that are without a father and birth them into God's family and become their father. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad it said, ye were of your father, the devil? He used to be my father, but no longer. We've got a brand new father. Amen. Listen, John chapter 1, speaking of Him birthing us into the family, being our Father. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came to His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him. And His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So how do I get this Father? You believe on His name. How do I get in? How do I get out of this category I'm in that are without? You believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will receive this Father. What a blessing that we are not without a Father this morning. Listen, You all know this verse. It's one of my favorite. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. We're blessed to be the recipients of His protection, His provisions, and His promises. Just think about the provisions that your Father provides for you, the promises He's made to you, and the protection on a daily basis that your Father has for you. He's not a weak Father. He is the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. He's never out of reach. And to that's what we have, but to those that are without, they don't have that. And life is hard. Brother Jimmy, I couldn't imagine what you're going. I can't comprehend what you're going through this morning, but you have a Father, and you have a family, and you have a Savior and a Lord, and He can touch you where I can't, and He can speak to you where I can't, and He can help you and minister to you where no man can. But imagine being lost. Imagine being without and having to face a day like today. It'd be unbearable. And we're not of most men miserable. Hey, listen, if you're saved, you're way, way better off than the devil would paint you out to be. On your worst day, you're within. Amen. Matthew 6, behold the fowls of the air. Talking about His protection and provisions and promises. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what you need. Amen. So, number two, them that are without Christ are them that are without forgiveness. So not only without a Father, but them that are without Christ are without forgiveness. It's sad and real bad to not have a Father, this Father. But just for a moment this morning, relish in the fact and muse on the fact and think of just how much God, not the world, that He forgave the world, but think about how much He's forgiven you. Think about the mountains of sin that you created. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Yeah. But those that are without Christ and those that don't know what it is to experience the forgiveness of God, it ought to burden us. It ought to burn in us that we could get that to them where they could too experience what we have in forgiveness. Amen. Don't you want your children to know what forgiveness is? Because you know they're going to fail. I mean, as much as you think that's a halo around their head, it's horns. Hey, devils. And I love my children, but I know them. Not only are they going to fail, they already have. And I as a earthly father, I want the best for them. As a saved father, I want the best for them. But I tell you this, there's things I cannot provide for my children. And one of them is the forgiveness of God. I can give them my forgiveness, but that will not merit and add up in the courts of heaven. They need to know what the forgiveness of God is. And so with everything within me, I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to make sure they are not left without. And that they are within so that they are in Christ and they can experience the forgiveness of God. Not only my children, but my wife and my friends. And hey, listen, I want every friend of mine to know what forgiveness is. And even my foes, even people that I really don't like. You say, oh, you don't like people? It ain't a sin. Don't you judge me, you hypocrite. Yeah, I say it's people I don't like. You say, am I one of them? Don't ask. I don't want to have to lie because that is a sin. No, I'm just kidding. It ain't a sin. It ain't a sin to not love, like like everybody. I love you. I don't mean I got to like you. Even my point is, even my folks, even people that I would soon not be around, I want them to experience forgiveness. Even terrorists, and I mean this, even people who want to kill and destroy our country, I want even people sitting in Gitmo who have brought attacks, I don't want them to die and go to hell. And I've made hardened statements before, like, I hope they meet their 72 virgins, and hey, that's wicked. That's wicked. I don't want them to die. Jesus died for them. I don't want them to die and go to hell. Care what they've done. Amen. Amen. Hey, if Osama bin Laden had a trusted Christ as Savior, he would have went to heaven. He might have had a mansion beside you. If Adolf Hitler would have repented of his sin and trusted Christ, God would have saved him. Amen. Amen. And I want everybody to experience the forgiveness of God. And the truth is, many are not, because they see us living in a way that don't portray Christ. I mean, he turned the light on and he brought us out of darkness into the light, and he saved us and forgave us and said, now live like me and let them see me in you. And we say with our lips, and we say how much we want that, but then we don't live like it. And people see that miscalculation. They say, it don't add up. If it really means that much to you, then why don't I see it? I know that ain't popular, but please hear me. You know what the number one thing in the world, you know what the opinion of the world is? I'm sick of church people. They're sick of us. People in the world don't even want to come. When you know, we went out soul winning, knocking on doors, inviting people to church week before last, and some of you told me how you heard things shuffling around behind the doors and lights getting cut off and like, be quiet. Maybe if we don't move, they won't think we're home. You know why? A lot of they don't want to be bothered, but a lot of it is they have heard the church talk, but they ain't seen the church walk. They've heard us say things and not back it up with their life, and they're sick of it. It's religion. And if all we have is religion, they will stay without. But we must have, as James talked about, pure religion and undefiled. Amen. And pure religion comes from a relationship with the Lord. Amen. And it should. It absolutely should change the way we talk and walk. Amen. I just read the verse a while ago, but if your life has never been radically changed, you're still lost. If all you did was pray a prayer and get in a baptismal pool and join a church, and you remember the date and you got it wrote down in your Bible and you remember where you prayed, but it never changed who you are, you're lost. You're still without. Amen. Amen. And I want you to be saved. That's why I'm preaching this morning. Hey, please hear this. Hell will be fully populated with church members. Hell's full of church members already. So full, the Bible says it has to enlarge itself every day because it's so full. And I promise you, a bulk of those in hell had heard the gospel, had sat on a Baptist church pew, and they're in hell today. Amen. Being a Baptist don't make you go to heaven. Being an independent Baptist with the right Bible and supporting a missions program does not get you into heaven.
That's right.
You will stay without until you come in Christ. Amen. And that comes by repenting of who you are and trusting in who He is and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. Not just as Savior. Everybody wants Him as Savior. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. But He must become Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, There's no salvation, no forgiveness of sins for them that are without Christ. Them that are without Christ are without salvation because there is no salvation apart from Christ. None. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know that verse well. Amen. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, I just read, is wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins, according to the riches of his grace, because we are in the beloved. We are in him who has forgiveness of sins. Buddha can't offer forgiveness of sin. Allah can't offer forgiveness of sin. Religion can't do that. Only one, and his name is Jesus. Because with his own blood, he purchased redemption. Amen. And he has the power to forgive sin. Them that are without Christ are without forgiveness. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Boy, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad you have the forgiveness of sin? As glad as we are to have forgiveness, we ought to be as sad about the same fact that others don't. It should bother us. It should burden us. It should drive us to want to get the gospel to those. So they too, whether it be your child, your coworker, your schoolmate, that they too could experience the forgiveness that's only found in Christ. I'm going to stop right there this morning, and tonight we'll come back and deal with the last two. Them that are without understanding are them that are without focus. The Bible speaks a lot about those who are without understanding. And then the Bible speaks a lot about, has a lot to say about those who are without church and without a church. You need a church. You need to be within the church. Yes, in the church that is the Lord Jesus Christ, though every born-again believer is in the church, but I'm talking about you need to be in the church, in a church, a physical, local church. And there's so much that comes along with that. And there's so much that you are losing if you're not. Amen. That's right. There's some things in the Christian life you will only get in the church. And I'm going to preach this tonight from the Bible, but I'll just give you a personal testimony this morning. In closing, I can't imagine, and I can't articulate all that I have gained in the church. I'm talking about in the local church. All the Bible preaching that I have received, which and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So my faith has increased so much just being in the church. Being in the Sunday school class, Brother Ned. Hearing a Sunday school teacher week in and week out. When I wasn't paying attention, I didn't think. I remember my Sunday school teachers when I was this tall and this tall. And I remember playing and being the class clown and not paying attention and driving them insane. But I also remember, and I'm sure the devil told them, he ain't getting no help. You might as well kick him out. I'm telling you, God increased my faith so much sitting in a little Sunday school room. And I had no earthly idea that it was happening. Just little by little. Hey, parent, I don't know whatever happened to us getting over Sunday school. But you need to have your child in Sunday school. It matters. It absolutely matters. To rob them of that is to rob you. No telling how much faith from them. You're stealing from them.
Yeah.
When you don't do your diligence to get your child to church.
Amen.
I think it's a form of robbery. I do. Yeah. Because you are their authority and you can see to it that they get that faith.
That's right.
That they would in no otherwise get.
Amen.
Get them here. I got faith. I got the gospel in church. I got Christian friends that'll be with me till Jesus comes and for all eternity in church.
Amen.
Friends that I've never got no. I got a bride in church.
Amen.
The love of my life. And I could go on and on and on about things that I only could have got in a church. I got married in a church. I'll have my funeral preached in a church. And you may say, well, I can go down to the funeral home and just do it. Well, okay, go right ahead. But I'm going to do mine in the church.
Amen.
I'm simply saying every big thing that's happened in my life has been connected to the church. And I know the numbers are down and it's not popular to go to church and we'll just hit and miss. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to get back to realizing the church should be a priority in your life. It absolutely should. It absolutely should. You say, you just saying that because you're a preacher. Well, if you're that foolish, listen, I'll be here with you or without you. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's what's best for you and your family.
Amen.
To be faithful to church. It's what's best for you and your marriage. I doubt my marriage would have made it without church, and I'm serious. My children are far from perfect, but by the grace of God, they ain't totally let me down yet. They've been faithful, and they ain't been no major crises yet. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen today. I could get a phone call today and break my heart. I ain't above that. And it ain't nothing good. I just simply tell you, all I know to do, Brother Ned, was bring them to church.
Amen,
every time the doors is open. Have I failed them more than I could tell you about? But the most positive, reassuring constant in their life, outside of God Himself, has been the church. And it's been to their benefit, not to their detriment. And yes, they preacher's kids, and yes, they've seen the guts and the grind behind the scene. But they still love the Lord, and they love the church.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart, it'll break my heart if this don't happen, that when daddy's dead and gone, they'll still be going to church.
Amen.
Because they love the Lord, and they're in, not without.
Amen.
And that's how we'll raise our family. Because that's the best life, that's the safest life, that's the most pure life. It's the greatest life you can live, is to be right with God, be in Christ, be right with the Lord, and be right with His church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll deal with the rest of it this evening. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the promise that we have a Father. And Lord, what manner of love You have bestowed upon us that we could call You Father. Be the sons of God. Thank You for forgiveness, Lord, of all that we receive being in Christ. And Lord, we do pray for those, God, who are without. God, those who are groping in darkness and blind, believe the lies of the devil. They have no idea. They have no idea, Lord, how good and how glorious life could be. Experiencing forgiveness. And having a Father like You. I pray, Lord, You would burden our hearts as believers, those that are in You. God, that we would see to it. Do everything in our power, Lord, to make sure they are in You, Lord. Not left without. Give understanding, Lord. Give light. Give conviction, Lord. Draw sinners. There's somebody here this morning who is without, never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Still living in your sin. I wonder if you'd come this morning. Say, I'm tired of living without. I want to be in. I want to be in. Would you come? You're saved this morning. How long has it been since you thanked Him for forgiving you? Thanked Him for being a father like He is. Amen. Would you come?